there, boys and girls. This is the Children's Bible Club coming to you again. I'm Aunt Carolyn, and here is Mr. Woods, the Bible Club choir director, and also all the Bible Club choir friends that you have. And they have a wonderful message to tell today through their first song, Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb.
Redeemed how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Thank you, choir. Bible clubbers, did you ever know a stingy person? Maybe you've known a classmate or a distant cousin who was selfish and wouldn't ever share anything. Did you like that kind of a person? No, I'm afraid not. Yet sometimes we act stingy with the Lord. We want to keep all our money to ourselves and our time, and we only think of ourselves and what we want, instead of what we could do or give for the Lord's work. Jesus said, "Freely ye have received, freely give." And you know you can be sure the Lord will more than reward you, and you will be blessed and rejoice in your heart. And now, here's the choir again. Set for story time.
Say, if you'd seen that house, it was almost a mansion. Big palatial stair steps led up from the street onto big porches and balconies, and the tiled halls were covered with heavy oriental rugs, and they were quieted with the big draperies that hung at the huge windows. And my, the servants got up early in the morning to tend to those beautiful gardens and roses and all the beautiful yards outside. And the cooks got up early to fix all kinds of fancy dishes. Oh, pheasant and quail and all kind of delicacies. There was never a shortage of grapes or pomegranates or other rich foods in the house. And the man of the house went striding through in all his fine linens and heavy robes. And the more he looked over his estate, the bigger he got on the inside, thinking about how great he was, and what a fortune he had amassed. And didn't everybody in town know that he was Mr. Somebody, for he was a rich man? There was just one thing that marred the view as he looked out over his beautiful estate. And it was that wretched beggar laying at the gate. Oh, he was sick and tired of him marring the view. The nerve of such a wretch to come lay in front of his gate, thinking he'd lower himself to give him anything. He'd had enough of it. He'd call the servants, he'd get rid of it. And you know, with just a flick of the finger, or a tinkle of a small brass bell, this rich man could have anything his heart desires. "Servant,
Servant, I say, come here. Get rid of that lazy wretch laying at my gate. I despise having beggars to have to look at. No, wait a minute. Better yet, call the dogs. They'll make short work of him.
And because his every wish was a command, the dogs were turned loose. And my, did they ever come like a pack of hunting dogs ready to catch the prey, you know. But you know, poor Lazarus, poor and hungry and weak, was too weakened to move. He couldn't run. It looked like those dogs were purely going to tear him up. But you know, with a soft voice, a kind voice, he spoke to them. And soon those terrible snarls and scowls and yowls became whines. And pretty soon the dogs soon got close to him. And it wasn't long before they became his only friends and began to lick his sores. Oh, poor Lazarus, even the soft tongues of the dog were the kindest touch and the kindest expression of love he'd had for many a year. And so this was the best treatment he could get. Why, little did that big rich man know that even a few crumbs from his table would have rejoiced poor Lazarus' heart and would have made him happy and thankful all day. But no, that rich man didn't have time for anybody else. He was busy seeing about his business, thank you. And then one day, just as you expected, it happened. Some of the townspeople came striding down the street, and there the old beggar lay. Oh, what an eyesore to the community, but nobody wanted to do anything for him to get rid of him. So one of them said, "Get out of here, you wretched beggar!" But the poor wretched beggar didn't move. And so they walked over there and with a rough kick gave him a boost. But the poor form didn't respond. There he lay, cold and stiff, beside the street. Well, what a relief! They called the town authorities, and somebody had to bury the poor thing. So they dug a hole in the place where they buried the poor folks that couldn't afford a grave, and dumped his poor body in it and covered it up with dirt, walked back home with a feeling of good riddance. Little did they know that the man they had treated so unkindly was getting a royal reception in heaven. Oh, if you could have seen Lazarus that day, he was happy if he'd never been before. Angels waited at heaven's gates to meet him, and Abraham was there to welcome him home. Oh, what a wonderful time they were having. Sure, he had a rough time on earth, but not anymore. He was at peace and at rest, and he lacked nothing. Oh, what a wonderful day it was for Lazarus the day he went home to be with Jesus. But you know, just about the same time that old Lazarus died, something else happened. The rich man died too. Oh, I'm sure he wasn't expecting it. Folks who live for just this world and see how much they can pile up in this life and how much they can get for themselves and how big they can make their name in society and how big their bank account can be, they don't have much time to think about what's going to happen to them in the next life. They think, oh yeah, somebody else is liable to die, but not me. At least it couldn't happen to me for years and years. And the rich man counted his wealth and gloried in all of his estate. But he didn't count on one thing, for death came knocking at his door. And you know, the neighbors and the townspeople and the governors and all must have come, and he must have had a grand and glorious funeral. I imagine the funeral director really made something big out of it, you know, and made it high and royal and grand, 'cause he sure'd get a high fee for this man's funeral, you know. And I imagine if you'd really known the truth of it, some of the relatives weren't too sad after he is gone, 'cause they thought about, well, what I'll get out of the will, you know? But you know, while they were having a grand and glorious funeral on earth, the real rich man, the soul of the rich man, the man on the inside, had already gone to hell. And in hell he was in torment and in flames. And you know, worse than that, he could lift up his eyes and way across the gulf see Lazarus resting and at peace in Abraham's bosom. And he called out, "Abraham! Abraham! Oh, please send Lazarus if he could just dip his finger in water and touch it to my tongue. I'm tormented in these flames." He wasn't calling for rich red wine now. He wasn't calling for fine meats and desserts. All he begged for was one cool drink of water. But Abraham said, "No, son. You've had what you were shooting for in this world. Now Lazarus had it hard, but now he's at rest and at peace, and you're the one that's tormented." And that poor man said, "Oh, can't he come? No, that big gulf is fixed and no one can cross it." "Well, it's too late for me then to be saved. But, oh, please send somebody to tell my brothers so they won't come to this terrible place." And Abraham said, "Listen, they've got the word of God. They've got the prophets. If they won't listen to that, they wouldn't listen if somebody even went back from the dead." And you know, it was quite a picture. Lazarus might have had it rough in this life, but in his heart he was prepared for death. And when death came, he went to heaven to be with Jesus. Now that's not an accident, boys and girls. There has to be a definite time in your life when you open up your heart and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You see, unless Jesus comes first, all of us have to die. All of us have to go into eternity, and you can't dodge the issue. The rich man put it off and thought the things of this world would satisfy, but you see, they didn't. Wouldn't it have been better for him not to have had so much in this world and yet now to be in heaven with Jesus? You see, Lazarus is there now, even while we're having this story today. But the rich man is in hell even today. Now listen, don't put off salvation. God says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Jesus died on the cross for your sins so you could go to heaven. He paid the price. He bought it with his own precious blood. And all you have to do now is confess your sin, admit that you're not able to save yourself, and trust the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. Won't you ask him to come into your heart today? God bless you until next week.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.